The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus, and we thank you for joining us, friend. We are continuing a three-part series highlighting a debate Bob Wilkin recently participated in called The Great Once Saved, Always Saved Debate. The Grace Evangelical Society is a focused free grace organization. You can find out more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There in our store, you can find Bob Wilkin's most recent book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. We have many other articles and videos and blogs, information about our conferences, our seminary, and our magazine. That's a lot. Go look at it at faithalone.org. Now, with today's continuation of our three-day discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
All right, now you have a second question from someone named Tom, is that right?
Yeah, we had a long message from Tom. The first thing he mentions is just a fun quote he came up with is, eternal doesn't include timeouts for bad behavior, because that was part of Steve Gregg's view, is if you can believe and then stop believing and then come back to believing, then is that just your everlasting life timeout where you don't get it for that amount of time, but then you get it back?
And a quick comment on that, if by timeout, you like with kids, okay, they're in a timeout, that is some sort of discipline. Well, if that's all timeout means, yeah, we get discipline. Read Hebrews 12. Read the whole New Testament. If we're not walking in fellowship with God, God brings discipline into our lives. But if, and I like the way Tom does it, if timeout means this is time where I don't have everlasting life, then Tom's absolutely right. There is no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because everlasting life is, as Dr. Ryrie liked to say, he was one of my seminary professors, it's everlasting. If you could lose it, it's got the wrong name. If you could lose it, you would never say, you'll never perish, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst, you'll never die, you'll never be cast out. Because if we could lose it, then Jesus lied. And of course, the Lord Jesus can't lie because Jesus is the God-man. He is perfect man and fully God, and everything he says is true.
And that was the loop that Steve got stuck in, because you would ask him those questions and he would say, of course, I have eternal security. I'm eternally saved as long as I believe. He just wouldn't acknowledge that if there's any amount of chance that you could lose it, then it's no longer everlasting. It's no longer a promise. It's no longer secure,
right?
Because you're fallible, you're human. You might think that you'll never stop believing, but maybe you will. Wouldn't you like to know now that God isn't just going to cast you out because you stopped believing towards the end of your life?
You will see that this kind of thing comes up a lot, and it's confusing.
Yeah. The next thing he said, I love the way you started your opening statement by inviting people to be open to question what they believe about eternal salvation. And I think that was good too, because that is an important part of this, and I think it's a thing that Steve Gregg missed, because to me, the biggest issue here was, how do we define believe from the Greek? Is it believe once, and then it has everlasting consequences, or is it continue to believe for everlasting life? And he wouldn't even approach the argument. Anytime you said believe, he would say, I also believe. But he would never debate on the Greek or about whether one person is right or wrong. He would just kept saying, well, yeah, of course, believe. But if you stop believing, then there's consequences. And so I think that's a good example of someone who he is not open to rethinking the way he interprets the gospel. And then also a tangent, he never brought up a gospel passage as a proof for salvation. You brought up verses from John. He would respond to those. But when he asked you questions, never did he mention the Gospel of John. He would bring up Galatians, Romans, Corinthians, whatever
James.
Else. Yeah, all the people who were inspired by Jesus, who the Gospel is about, the people that wrote about Jesus, he would reference them, but not the one who actually brought us the saving message.
Yeah, and by the way, what Tom's bringing up here is at the beginning of the debate, I shared that when I came to faith in Christ, a friend from the same cult group who had come to faith, he came to me and said, Bob, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? And that led me to pray about it and to decide to go to a meeting with him and then start meeting with a campus minister. And I ended up coming to faith in Christ. And I said at the beginning of the debate, are you willing to ask yourself the question, is it possible my view of the gospel is wrong? And I said, if you don't know for sure that you are eternally secure, that you're once saved, always saved, then would you be willing to pray about it and ask God right now? And to me, that's a very reasonable approach. But like you say, Steve never said that was his position, that he's open. The funny thing is, and you and I talked about this, he actually comes from a Baptist background. And when he was a small child, I think like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 or whatever, he supposedly came to faith at that point. In fact, that's where Tom's going in this question, because in the debate, I said at age 20, he got involved with the Jesus movement and Calvary Chapel, and he became evidently a charismatic and was involved with YWAM and other things. And of course, part of the philosophy of Calvary, not all Calvary chapels, but the original Calvary chapel was you can choose to believe and you can choose to unbelieve. You can choose eternal life and you can give it back. And so he held that view. But the funny thing is, I said in the debate, he may well be born again because once saved, always saved is true. Mm-hmm. And even if today he's saying, no, no, we've got to persevere in order to... Well, he wouldn't quite put it this way, but to keep everlasting life, he would still be born again, even if he, in fact, it was funny because in the debate, I actually pointed out that he says on his website that he's not sure whether he holds to universalism or annihilationism. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked, you know, when I saw that, and I said to him in the debate, it doesn't seem like there's a real big need for this debate if everybody's going to be in the kingdom. Yeah. Well, what's the big deal here? Or if all the unbelievers are going to be annihilated, there is no eternal conscious torment. So I don't see the big need for this debate. And his point was, well, no, it's still important because people are going to miss out on the joys of walking with God in this life.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
He even said in one point in the debate when I said, if an unbeliever dies, then you agree they go to Hades? And he said, no, no, I don't know where unbelievers who die go right now.
Yeah, he said he's not sure on
it. Not sure.
He also said emphatically that there is not a single verse in the New Testament that supports eternal conscious torment.
Yeah, he did, and I was shocked.
Yeah, the rest of the debate isn't worth debating if that's what he thinks, because
right.
Either everyone's bouncing out of the lake of fire or they just don't exist anymore. So,
and by the way, I have a chapter on this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. I have a chapter on hell and I go through all these issues. But now Tom had another question. Didn't he object to the fact that I said Steve Gregg may well be born again even though he no longer believes?
Yeah, so just to clarify, Tom had a lot of support for it and he said he agreed on everything, but then he said, personally, I don't think that anyone who has been a believer and a devout teacher like Steve for 60 years who still professes that you can somehow mess up or lose your salvation can be saved themselves. And so this was a sentiment I saw in the YouTube comments too. A lot of people were saying they agreed with the once saved, always saved position, but they don't believe that they were ever saved if they're now showing these kinds of fruit or this kind of dissent or if it's false doctrine or whatever it is. They just don't believe that person could have ever been saved.
There are people who say, once saved, always saved is true. Even if you fall into carnality, even if you fall into gross sin, but they draw the line on someone who falls away doctrinally. Morally, they'll say, yeah, failure is possible, major failure is possible. But you can't commit apostasy. If you actually fall away from the faith, then you prove you never were born again in the first place. That seems to be the view that some of the people in the comment section of the debate, that may be their view. And that doesn't fit verses like, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. In Greek, as I pointed out in the debate, this is extremely emphatic. It's a double negative, ou me. Ou means no, me means no. And then it's aston iona, that means forever. So it's no, no, forever. not forever. It's an absolutely dogmatic statement. The person who is physically alive and believes in Jesus is eternally secure, even if they stop believing. And it seems to me we have examples in the New Testament of people who have stopped believing. For example, we're told about Hymenaeus and Alexander who suffered shipwreck concerning the faith. We read in Galatians 1 that the Judaizers were trying to mislead and confuse the believers in Galatia. In fact, there were people trying to get them to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses in order to be justified or in order to stay justified. And Paul doesn't question the salvation of the Galatians. Paul isn't questioning the salvation of Hymenaeus and Alexander. What he's talking about is they did suffer shipwreck, and any of us potentially could. If you take the view that some of these people are talking about, then wouldn't they lack assurance of their own salvation?
Yeah. The only thing I can figure with a view like this is it is a personal justification for not wanting to believe that someone that you view as being that bad could be saved. And Steve did do the same thing in the debate. Because I think you asked him, do you know anyone who was a believer and stop believing, and so you would believe that they no longer have everlasting life? And he said, yes, he had two friends who were believers for like 30 years, and then he claims that they stopped believing and then died of drug overdoses, and so they are not in heaven. He doesn't know where they are because he doesn't believe in Hades or the Lake of Fire, but they are not in heaven because they either stopped believing or, I think more likely, from his view, since they fell back into drug use and died from it, that means they were no longer believing in God.
Yeah, because he takes the inheriting the kingdom passages in Galatians 5 and Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6 to refer to getting in. And so therefore he says these people aren't going to inherit. But by the way, I think he might say that those people are in heaven, because if he says universalism may be true, well then possibly at the very moment you die as an unbeliever, you're given eternal life. Now, that course makes no sense because there is something called the Great White Throne Judgment. Books are opened and the Book of Life is opened in Revelation 20. Anyone not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the Lake of Fire. But he didn't seem to go there and want to talk about that. Well, thanks so much, everybody. And in the meantime, Sam, what are we going to do?
Keep grace
in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, we conclude this 3-day series discussing the great once saved, always saved debate. Please join us then. In the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.